All right, let's pray for the message tonight. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, but let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Father, again, we thank you for loving us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can bow down before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, we know it's not on our own doing that we can do that. It's what you did on the cross. And the Father reached down and ripped the veil of the Holy of Holies, just showing us, demonstrating to us the access we have. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that you do speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, challenge us. Help us to understand the truths that you have for us. And God, everyone on our list, there's so many there. We lift them up to you again. We continue to do that daily. Lord, we especially lift up Mallory as he recovers, and we thank you for the ministry he has as he prays for us day by day. Lord, again, speak to our hearts tonight. God, give us the boldness to obey. And God, give us the honesty to evaluate ourselves in your light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I know some of y'all just went through Ephesians in Sunday school. We're going to be in chapter 4. This morning I saw Brother David after I went to the hospital, and he said, just be ready. So we started getting ready, and then about 3 o'clock this afternoon, he said he wasn't going to make it. So he needs the rest. So y'all pray for him. Pray for the servants of the Lord. Now, I was talking to him about this a while back. I feel like over the last 10, well, ever since I've been a Christian, since 85, but over the last 10 years, the spiritual battle that we go through, the devil's slick. He's, you know, John 10:10 says a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't come to just aggravate us. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he hates everything about God, and he wants to mess it up, and he wants to ruin it. So we need to lift up our pastor in prayer and pray that he's got that hedge of protection about him, that God takes care of him and his family, and just all the other stuff that's going on. Pray for yourselves. And one guy said to me one day, if you hadn't been wrestling the devil, maybe you're going the same way he's going. You know, if you don't realize the spiritual battles that are going on, maybe you are going the same way. So be careful about that. This is a challenge that Paul gives us in Ephesians chapter 4 to the church. He's writing to the church of Ephesus. The Spirit of God is speaking through the apostle to the church years and years down the road, right? We're removed from the original writing by thousands of years, but it's just like the Spirit of God spoke to us through the Word of God today as he does that. So we're going to meander through this. What I want you to think about is being on the right bus but the wrong seat, okay? And I started thinking, I heard that illustration one time. I said, well, that might be a good one. And I started thinking, you know, you get on a bus, it doesn't matter what seat you're in. The bus is going where it's going, so how can you be on the wrong seat? Unless you're supposed to be the driver and you're not. You know, that'd be bad. About halfway down the road, find out that the driver is not the driver. Maybe he stopped at a gas station, did something else, and somebody else hopped in there. That wouldn't be good. But anyway, a better one might be a ship, and the captain is the Lord Jesus. Whether it's a merchant vessel or a cruise ship, and people are in different places. Max Lucado had a wonderful illustration about that. There was people down in the engine room taking the engine apart and putting it back together, and they were studying the engine. There was people up on a deck, and they had the wind blowing through their hair, and they were just having a great time because they were. And then there was people at different places doing different things, but the main thing was the ship was going to its destination, and the captain was the Lord Jesus. But as the ship went, there was people floating in the water. And the main thing the ship was supposed to be doing was gathering people and helping them to get to where they needed to be. So these illustrations are good sometimes. But think about the church, and you're on the bus. This is written to believers. But are we in the right seat? You know, are you sitting by the window just staring, watching the trees go by? You know, are you watching the stuff roll around on the floor? Or are you aggravating somebody? Y'all ever been on a school bus and got aggravated? I was probably that person years ago. Let's look at chapter 4 in Ephesians and listen to what Paul says. He starts out and he reminds them of who he is in Christ again. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And the word there, beseech, he's saying, I beg you to walk worthy of the calling that you were called. We have been called by the Lord Jesus not just to redemption and salvation, but he's called us into his family. He's called us into the family of God to do those things that enhance the kingdom. You know, when you listen to the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is on earth in heaven." And he wants us to be a part of what's going on. We didn't just get redeemed by the Lord Jesus to go to heaven. He wants us to do something on the way. And we need to think about what he's saying here. To walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. We were called to salvation, but we were also called into the ministry individually. Look at verse 2 with me. "With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And he gives us a list there that not only are we to walk worthy of that calling in which we're called, but there's some things we need to check ourselves on. And I sort of like lists, you know, because they give us a guide to go by and we can pay attention to those. But when he's talking about lowliness, that's humility. You know, are we the honestly humble people that the Lord wants us to be? And are we ministering under the umbrella of gentleness, long suffering? I was thinking about two carpenters, two one-armed carpenters. Now, they're not afforded to have a nail gun, because that would solve the problem. If they're one-armed carpenters, they'd have a nail gun, they'd be in good shape, right? But just think about two one-armed carpenters, and they're putting a deck down. That means one of them gets to hold the nail, and the other one gets to use a hammer, right? Anybody want to volunteer? I'll hold the hammer, right? Because I whacked off my thumbnail a few months back, and it finally grew back. But anyway, it's working together. And it's doing what needs to be done. But the long-suffering part, bearing with one another in love. What I want us to think about tonight is not just this church, but when you look at whatever we're involved in, if you want to call it the culture, you want to call it the United States or worldwide, what do you see the church of Jesus Christ doing and involved in? Where are you at individually, and where do we need to be? Humility. That'll go a long way, won't it? You know any people that operate under the umbrella of humility? We all need to. And we need to practice that. We need to have the humility that the Lord wants us to. The gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Look at verse 3. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I parked next to a car this morning, went to the hospital, pulled in a little place where it says visitor and chaplain, and I parked next to a car and it had a bumper sticker on the back that said coexist. And it had all the little religious symbols. And you know, every one of those are inclusive. When you start talking to people that believe different religions, they have different beliefs. You can't just throw them in a jar and shake them up and pour them out and it's all the same. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. So Christianity is exclusive, but it's inclusive. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you can't add to truth and still call it truth. When you start adding to truth or taking away from truth, it is no longer truth. So yes, maybe we all need to get along if we're playing some type of sport or something together. But when it comes to truth, we've got to be careful about that. And I was thinking, you know what? I got to put some tracks in my Jeep because should have put a track on the. You know, here you are in a chaplain's parking lot and you're putting tracks on cars. I thought it was funny anyway. Anyway, maybe that'll make me stay at home sometimes, right? All right. But the unity of the Spirit of God. And I sort of believe this. This is Brian Jones. You can take it or leave it. It's not in the Bible. But, you know, since creation, and since the creation groans for the return of Christ, and we live on a sin-cursed planet, and things are degrading. You know, right after the fall, people lived a lot longer because the earth was more perfect, but things are sort of falling apart. Well, we need to look at that in a spiritual sense also. Since the early church and since the Spirit of God was poured out, the potential is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said the things that he did, we will do also. The Spirit of God has not lessened in power, but maybe over time we've quenched the Spirit and quenched the Spirit, and we do need like a great awakening. We need to come back to the truth and allow the Spirit of God to be real in our lives. And that's where we need to tap into the power that God has for us. You know, maybe every once in a while we need to just get alone and beg God to pour out His Spirit. And I believe we need to do that. We need to do that more and more as the days approach. So, pay attention to what the Spirit's doing. Look at verse 4 with me. He reminds them that there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Remember, he's talking to believers. He's talking to a church. He mentions one here, one body, one group, one true group of believers. There is a true group of believers on the planet. That's the remnant that truly know the Lord Jesus. There is one Spirit of God. Brother David's been preaching on that and talking about it. There's one hope. And the hope is an everlasting, for sure hope, being with Jesus, knowing Jesus, allowing the Spirit of God to work through our lives. One Lord. There is one boss for all of us, the Lord Jesus. One God that calls the shots, that makes the rules, that has set a plan before us. One faith, the true faith in Jesus Christ. One baptism, that's when we believe in Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God moves into our life. That's the baptism that we celebrate by water when people come to celebrate that ordinance here. One God and Father of all. Y'all get what he's saying there? I think he means there's one. Y'all figure that out? Sometimes it just hits you right upside the head and helps you to get it. But when you look around nowadays, you see all different kinds of people going all different kinds of ways, believing all different kinds of, and there's people over here jumping up and down that this is important. There's people over here jumping up and down, this is important. Don't listen to the media. I was looking at a group that does research for ABC, and they do polls. I took Introduction to Statistics and Probability in college, and basically, you find a group of people that you want to ask them questions to get the right answers for your poll, and you can let your poll say whatever you want it to. And that's what these companies do. They ask these people, well, what do you want the poll to say? What do you want the survey to say? Okay, we'll find the people that will give us the right answer, and that's what we'll do. Just like in the case of homosexuality, there's people out there that would like you to think that half the country or a quarter of the country is involved in homosexuality, but really it's less than 3%. When you get down to the truth of the matter, but they jump up and down and scream and holler and make a lot of noise, don't they? One body, one spirit, one hope, one God. That's who we serve. And we've got to get away from looking at ourselves in such a small area and a small picture and try and see the big picture of what God really wants to do. And you got to remember, this church at Ephesus, they had had a revival and they had brought millions of dollars in today's value out into the streets and burning all the pagan stuff and witchcraft and sorcery and stuff that they were involved in. When the Lord Jesus moved in, they got rid of a lot of that stuff. Every once in a while, we need to look at our lives and we need to see what we need to get rid of and continue to move in the right direction. So, what he's doing there, he's reminding them about God and faith and the church and the hope and the purpose, that it's one. There's one purpose. And our one purpose is to serve an almighty and a holy God who put everything into motion, and he is the one that we bow down to. Not all kinds of little pet doctrines or whatever. Okay. So when we get to verse 7, he moves it into talking to us individually. Look at verse 7 with me. He says, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. What a wonderful gift of grace. Do y'all recognize grace on a daily basis? Hopefully you do. When you just think about salvation. You know, when God saved Brian Jones, by the way, I was in ICU. It's a miracle, right? Okay. Just trying to be funny. All right. When he saved me, he didn't just save me for a day. Or he goes, you're all right till you mess up again. He saved me for all eternity. I get to live this life by his grace. I get to realize how he forgives me when I make mistakes. I can ask him to help me back up and clean me back off and set me in the right path again. And He does that. And not only that, when we see Him face to face, we're going to be like Him. And He's going to usher us into eternity with Him, and we become joint. We are joint heirs with Jesus. We get to partake in all that. That's how marvelous and wonderful His grace is. Every once in a while, just thank Him. And not just for sanctification and salvation, but to each one, according to a measure of grace, He gave us a gift. He gifted each and every one of us to participate in the kingdom, even until after we see Him face to face. Look with me in verse 8. Therefore, He says, and He quotes out of Psalm 68, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now listen to what He says here. Now this ascended, what does it mean? But that He also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that He might fill all things. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, and we'll get into that list in just a second. But He's talking about Almighty God. The one who ascended is the one who descended. He came from glory. He came from heaven. He came and walked on this earth. And then He ascended. That's the one who's gifting us to do the things that He wants us to do. So not only do we have forgiveness and salvation, but He's gifted us to do those things. Look at verse 11 again. It says, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These ministry gifts that He gave out to some to do these certain things, the point is, in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Don't separate those. Keep them together. That we are to equip one another. We're to do the work of the ministry. And that edifies the church. And see, it's like the domino thing. This is a good thing that causes another good thing that causes another good thing. And that's how we're supposed to do. We can't just sit back and watch things happen or complain about things or whatever. And then as He gets to verse 13, this is when we get to quit, right? Until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We've got to keep moving in that right direction. And the plan is not just that we get along in this room on Wednesdays and Sundays. This week, and what is it, Wednesday already? I've run into more of my brothers in Christ than I knew before. And it's amazing. Sometimes people are silent about their faith and they'll listen to you. But just making some hospital visits, I've had more people openly tell me that they were a believer in Jesus Christ and they prayed with them. Went to visit Miss Jean yesterday and we prayed already, but when it came time for her to go to surgery, there was a man in there that was going to take her to the operating room. And he said, aren't you going to pray? And she said, we prayed already. He said, well, you pray again. It's always good. So we prayed again. We got done praying. This man was teary-eyed. You know, the Spirit of God had moved him. Another brother in Christ. And there's many brothers and sisters in Christ out there. And we need to continue to pray for one another, even those that we don't know. But we need to keep moving in the right direction and ask the Spirit of God to help us understand the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ in you and the fullness of Christ working in the community and what's going on in America right now and how much, you know, if anything, I would challenge us to be on our knees more begging God to just pour out His Spirit. Because when you read about the great awakenings and the old revivals, when God poured out His Spirit, things just happen, you know. And wouldn't you all love to just give up your seats on Sunday? You know, when they ripped the hole in the ceiling and let the guy down and he was healed, They didn't have to take him back out the same day. He walked right out. We need to be praying that God grabs the hearts of people. And probably if just all the Southern Baptists showed up at churches, all of our churches would be full on Sundays, right? Somebody said, you can't find half of them. Why is that? All right. But no longer are we to do some things. We need to stop doing some things. Look back in verse 14 with me. No longer be children tossed to and fro. How much studying of the Word of God do we need to keep doing before we put it into practical application? And let me just challenge you with this thought. Think about what you know as a believer, and are you doing what you know to do so that God will teach you something you don't know and He will impress you with His presence in other areas? A lot of times we don't experience the Holy Spirit moving because God's given us some things to do and we haven't done them. We oh man, that's good. I'm going to write that down in my notebook. I got this notebook. It's got all this information in it. Okay? But the Lord teaches us so that we become more and more and more like Him as the day approaches. Basically, He's telling us to grow up. Don't be tossed around by all kinds of crazy teaching out there. There's some crazy teaching going on out there. Turn on the TV or buy some books. You got to be careful about this stuff and where people are coming from, because it's like rat poison. It'll have a lot of truth in it, and then it'll have something that deviates from the truth, and it gets people chasing these tangents out there. Verse 15 is reminding us how we need to speak. And you know, the way we speak is what comes out of our being. When it says that, speaking truth and love, that we may grow up in all things unto Him who is able, who is the head, Christ. Is Jesus Christ Lord of our lives? Is He calling the shots? Or do you sort of call your own shots and then sort of pray and ask God to get in on what we got going on? Right? I told you all about the one-armed carpenters, right? Had a friend at Bible college. His name was R.V., Randolph Vaughn. He had been run over by a Mack truck. They didn't think he was going to live, but he lived. Then they didn't think he was going to come out of a coma, but he came out of a coma. And they didn't think he was going to be able to function, but he was at Bible college when I was at Bible college. If you met him on the street, you'd think he'd been drinking, because his speech was a little slurred, and his motor skills were... His brain would say, move this arm, and it's not as automatic as we are. But we'd go bike riding, me and him. And people would beep the horns at us and holler at us because he acted like a drunk on a bicycle. But he was having a blast. He was a funnel for God. People were always giving him stuff. I know one semester he got like 5 computers. And as soon as he'd get a computer, he'd find somebody that didn't have a computer. He'd go, you can have my computer. And he'd give. People were getting mad at him because they were giving him stuff and he kept giving it away. Now think about that. Getting mad at somebody for giving away their stuff. But people kept giving him stuff. The whole point of the matter was, here was an individual that was very handicapped. But God was using him mightily as a funnel for all kinds of stuff. But as another way, he would challenge believers. And he would challenge other people with what he did and what he couldn't do and what he would ask people to help him do and what he would try to help people to do. We need to be challenging to one another under the umbrella of love. You know, we need to look at each other in the face and ask each other how things are going and ask each other, what have you done for the Lord this week? What have you done for the Lord today? How's God work? Where have you seen God working? And have some answers. You know, when we have praise time, we don't have to sit around and think for a half hour. Let me think. I breathed air today. That was good. What else happened? Where have we seen God working? What have we seen Him doing? What have we seen? He's out there. He's working. Things are happening. We are part of a big, big picture. God chose. Why, I have no idea, but I like His plan because I'm in on it. But He chose before the foundations of the world to allow the Lord Jesus to die on a cross for our behalf, so that we could be redeemed and we could know Him and serve Him. And thousands of years later, we're still on the planet serving the Lord. We still have the greatest message on the earth of all times to share with other human beings about redemption and who God is and how much He loves us. But we've got to be part of the big picture. So here's the challenge I've got for you tonight. Look at your life. And are you stuck in a little place? You know who Jesus picked on? He picked on the Pharisees. He picked on the religious crowd for not doing it right. And I think if he showed up or if Paul the Apostle showed up, I don't know. I think Paul would get on us anyway. He just probably had that tenacity. We might not like him. But how are we part of the big picture? Are we praying for the Spirit of God to be loosed? Are we praying to sense what God wants us to do? You know, if we can have an event on the beach and thousands come, why don't we be praying that something else, Lord? You know, we don't want to pray for a disaster because that'll fill churches up. People run to the churches when something happens. But be praying that the Spirit of God is loosed and moving and evident in our lives. And who knows what might happen. But are you part of the big picture? Or, I'm not even going to say it. My wife would get mad at me. So I won't. I'll be nice. Are we real for Jesus? Think about it. I believe God wants to do some awesome things nowadays. And the devil is a loser. We can take as much as we want from him. There's people that are called enablers. They enable people to stay in their situation because sometimes it's more convenient, or for whatever reason they haven't got out of that. But we don't need to enable the devil to do what he wants to. When we wake up in the morning, we need to hear the devil say, "Oh no, they're awake." Right? Because we got on our knees and we asked an almighty and a holy God to help us through the day and help us to represent Him and just charge the darkness. I'm serious. We need to do that. Let's pray. Father, again, in the name of Jesus, we thank You so much that we can bow down before an almighty and a holy God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, tonight I thank You that we've got the freedom to meet inside a building and lift up the name of Jesus, sing praises to You, join in the name of Jesus and open the Word of God and look at truth. Lord, Paul challenged us to be of one faith, one unity, moving in the right direction. God, there are so many distractions out there, Lord, with finances and family and neighbors and jobs and all kinds of stuff going on. And Lord, a lot of times we're caught up in spending our time and our energy on good things, things that need to be handled. But God, remind us that You are of most importance. You are the preeminent one. You are the one we need to go to first for guidance. You're the one that we need to talk to and listen to. Lord, we want to be filled with Your Spirit. We want to be led by Your Spirit. And God, we want to rattle the walls of darkness. God, we pray. Lord, we know that the enemies come against us in all kinds of ways, personally and as a church. And Lord, just this culture, the way it's being used by the devil. But God, we know that Your Word says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know that You're on the throne, and we know that You're the all-powerful one. So God, we don't want to just meander through life and try and do what's good and right. But God, we want to see Your mighty Spirit move. Lord, we thank You so much for the day of our salvation. We thank You for redemption. We thank You for allowing us to be a part of a Bible-believing church. But God, help us to challenge the enemy, to challenge the darkness. God, again, we lift our pastor up to You. God, I pray that You give him rest, that You bless him and his family and protect them. And God, just bring great healing to him. And Lord, I know he'd like to be in the pulpit Sunday. So Lord, we pray for that to happen. But God, give him rest. And Lord, push the enemy back from him. And Lord, help us to continue to move in the right direction. In Jesus' name, we